This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the nourisher, the cherisher, the sustainer, the provider, the protector, the curer, the one in whose hands lies the control of entire existence. We praise him and we send blessings and salutations upon the messengers who were sent to us in order to remove us from the darkness and to bring us into the light. And we ask the Almighty to bless the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his companions and his family members. And may he bless every one of us. Say Ameen. And may the Almighty grant us every form of goodness. My brothers and sisters, before I actually continue with my topic of hope, pag asa, that's what we say in Tagalog, is it? I request that you don't use your mouth while you are fanning yourself, so that we can perhaps concentrate better by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm hearing a lot of people speak and it's not so, meaning it adds to the heat, subhanallah. My brothers and sisters, when our mothers were carrying us in their wombs, they were worried. When you carried from amongst us the women who've given birth, when you carried the child in your womb, you were worried. Worried about what? The unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know exactly how the child is going to grow and whether the child is normal, and whether the birth is going to be okay, and whether you are going to survive that birth, right? You don't even know if you are going to survive the birth. But you have hope in the mercy of the Almighty that things will go right. You have hope, and it is the hope that keeps you going. Without that hope, you perhaps might not even have survived the pregnancy, let alone the childbirth. And pregnancy comes with difficulty upon difficulty. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. Allah says the mother has carried him, meaning the humankind, the mother has carried him with difficulty upon difficulty. It was imposed upon the mother, which means she had no option. The moment she found that she conceived, she had to continue one after the other. The stages continued. It was difficult. Many of our mothers become quite sick and ill during the time of pregnancy, especially at the beginning. And later on it becomes heavy and there is a worry. But it's the hope in the mercy of the Almighty that keeps you going by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A day comes when you give birth to the child and suddenly you forget all the pain that you have been through once you see the child in front of you. And now there is a new problem. What is the new problem? The new difficulty is what's going to happen to the child. The suckling of the child, the feeding of the child, growing up regarding that particular child, who's going to clothe the child, and the future of the child, and what type of a future will the child have. So even while you are breastfeeding the child, you are praying and hoping that this child will grow up into a lovely child who will be the coolness of my eyes. So this is why when a child is born, we make a dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the parents, that the child can be the coolness of the eyes of the parents. And we have hope, and we continue working, and we continue trying. My brothers and sisters, I take you back, all of you, to a few years ago in your own lives, or the lives of your parents. I want to talk about my own life. Some years back, we were not in the condition that we are today. But we are not so grateful, so we forget. If I told you, how was your grandfather living? You would say, they did not really have shoes, their house did not have electricity, they didn't even have much, they really survived off something very, very little. But later on, your father came, and then you came, and today we are sitting here, we have a house, we have food, we have clothing, we have phones, we have so much, we have something to eat and drink, and still we are complaining. We are complaining about what? Did Allah not improve the quality of your life? Did Allah not generally grant you goodness? Yes, there are a few things you don't have. Don't lose hope because of a few things that the Almighty may have taken away from you. Generally, He has given you much more than what He has taken away from you. And I say it again, if you are to look at your own life a few years ago, or the lives of your parents, perhaps they couldn't even afford school fees in many cases. And today we are sitting, we have much more than what we had or our parents had. But we are still unhappy. We are still complaining. We are still from those who really look at what those who have more have. And we feel like we have nothing. Isn't that hopelessness? Shouldn't we be hopeful in the mercy of Allah? That Allah Almighty is definitely giving us over a period of time more than what we expected to have. That is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as the child grew and as the child became bigger, we were hoping that the child became a good child, educated. We sent the child to schools as far as possible. We sent them to the madrasa to learn something. We wanted them to learn in a good way. And we have hope that this child is going to grow up and become someone who serves us, who serves community, and before everything, serves the Almighty. We want to see growth in society. Today you have such a beautiful place. We would like to have a place 10 times the size of this in the future. It's possible. But it can only happen if we work very hard. We must build our hope. Yes, hope in what? Number one, hope in the mercy of the Almighty from the very beginning. We have hope in the mercy of the Almighty. He calls Himself the most merciful, the most forgiving. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Subhanallah. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, the most merciful, the most forgiving, the most beneficent, the most compassionate. That's what He is. So I have hope in His mercy, in His forgiveness, in the compassion. I have hope in all of this. And that's why I am here. As we grow older, we want to see growth. That growth will not happen if we don't have hope. When people are living in fear and hopelessness, do you really think they are going to excel? Do you really think they are going to grow? They won't even want to send their children to school because they are fearing the danger of the community. Therefore, it is absolutely important for us to work hard to achieve the goodness that we would like to achieve. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk." Work hard to achieve that which is beneficial for you. Work hard. It's not going to come just like that. When you have hope in the Almighty, I cannot sit at home and say that I have hope in the Almighty. I lay my trust on the Almighty that He will give me a job. But I'm not even going out to look for the job. What type of hope is that? In order to achieve the job, I need to go out 8 o'clock in the morning every day and search for a job. I come back at home 5 o'clock. I visited 10 places. I gave my CV. I did an interview. I tried hard. If I were to do that and work every morning in a few days' time, I'm sure I would be getting a job. But if I sit at home and I say, I have hope in Allah, that is not hope. That is called a false hope. People say, and sometimes religious people say, I have tawakkul on Allah. You know the meaning of tawakkul? To lay my trust. That is a very high, noble, beautiful quality. To lay your trust in the Almighty. So we say, I lay my trust in the Almighty. I trust Allah. He's going to do something for me. Okay? That is correct. But sometimes, that tawakkul becomes tawakul. The difference between the two is only in two letters. Tawakkul and tawakul. What is the difference? One is to lay your trust in Allah in the correct manner. And the other is to lay a false trust in Allah because it is in the wrong way. What is the difference? When you do it the proper way, you use all the energies, the intellect, the capacity and the power that Allah gave you to try your best to achieve what you want. And then you say, I lay my trust in Allah. That is the true trust. اِعْقِلْهَا ثُمَّ تَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you want your camel or your property to be protected from thieves, the first thing you do is you tie it. You lock your car. You lock your house. You close the windows. And then you say, I lay my trust in Allah. That is the true trust. But the false trust is when you leave the camel, you haven't tied it, you did not lock your car, you are showing your money sticking out of your back pocket, and then you are saying, I lay my trust in Allah. Only what Allah wants will happen. You are cheating yourself with a false statement mixed with a little bit of truth. So to have hope in Allah, you need to work hard towards achieving the goodness that you want. Without working hard, you are not going to get anywhere. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, the next type of hope is to hope from Allah, yes indeed, but regarding our own generations, our children, what are you going to leave on earth? The Almighty has sent you here in order to build, not in order to destroy. Some people think we came on earth, our job is to destroy. That's it. You want to break this, you want to destroy that, you want to damage this, break relations, break buildings, break infrastructure, and they think that that is what the Almighty told us to do. No! You are here to build, building people, your children. If Allah wanted, He didn't need to make them babies. He could have created each one of us as adults already, just like He did with Adam alayhi salam. But He didn't do that. He made the babies so that you can work hard according to what you want. You can try. Look, my brothers and sisters, when a baby is born, who decides the name? Does the baby decide the name? No. You as a mother or a father, I hope you're not fighting, by the way, inshallah. I hope you're not fighting about the name. One day I passed a brother. I told him, what is your name? He told me about 5 or 6 names. I said, which one is your name? He says, all of them. It was like Muhammad, Yusuf, Abdullah, whatever. I forget the whole name, but it was like so. I said, oh, I thought that's your father, grandfather. No, that's all me. I said, why? He said, you know, my mother was fighting with my father, and my mother and my grandmother and grandfather were arguing, so they decided, okay, because we love everyone, just put all the names together. So that's why I say, I hope you're not fighting, you know, what is the name? No problem, you can have another child. First time the father decided, second time the mother will decide. Or first time mother decides, second time the father will decide. It's okay. It's not a matter that is great. It's mutually discussed. It's not a thing worth fighting about. You know, people, they ask, whose right is it to name this child? And I always say the parents. They say, which parent? Come on, you are parents. Talk together. You had the child together. Have the name also together. So anyway, when the child is born, who gives the name? Not the child, someone besides the child. Who clothed the child and decided what clothing the child must wear? Who decided? The mother, or maybe the father, or maybe both of them. Or the guardian in the case of the absence of the mother or the father, right? Who decided what the child is going to eat or drink? The parents, not the child. Now listen, you have at that point almost full control over the child. Am I right? At the point of birth, you have almost full control over the child. You carry the child, you leave the child, you take the child, you clean the child, you feed the child, you clothe the child. Even the toys, you decide which toys you're going to buy. You walk in the shop. Small baby doesn't suddenly say, I want this one. There is no one going to speak. You have to decide yourself, I'm going to take this for my child. It's a small rattle and it's a simple toy, but the child becomes happy. The little rattle, you are rattling it and it's making a noise, just ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, and the child starts laughing at you and you are wow. A few years later, Allah says, we are going to slowly take away your control from the child. So while you have control, build the child. And then have hope that the Almighty will take care of the child later on. If you didn't care for your child, you didn't try to explain to your child. Little children have many questions, especially now, 2019, 2020. They ask you many, many questions. Talk to them, spend time with them. You know what we're doing on our phone? Yeah, keep quiet. The child asks another question, keep quiet. Third question, wait. You get the child a phone, give the child a phone. Say, yeah, now the child is quiet. Yes, people are so happy to give small children telephones, phones and iPads and everything else when it is dangerous for that child. You need the child to grow. You talk to the child, take the child, play with the child. A day will come when you cannot play with the child. When they become 15 and 16 years old, they will not be able to play with you sometimes. Or maybe 20, 25. How many of us play with our parents? We're old now. When there was the time, if you played, alhamdulillah. If you didn't, you lost. So the point I want to raise is, we do have hope in the future, but you need to invest in that hope. You cannot just simply say, I hope my children are going to be good children, and then we didn't give them an upbringing. They got into the hands of people who destroyed them because you were not there to help them. So as parents, you must make sure you spent good time, you did the right thing, you taught the child. The first words of the child are closely connected to your words. How do you speak? What do you say? If you say good words, the first words of the child will be good words. But if you say bad words, little children are swearing big, big swear words. Do you know why? Little children are swearing big swear words because the parents were saying those bad words while the child was young. But if you say good words, subhanAllah, you will never ever regret it. Never regret it. They say it's very hot in here, but I like the heat. Because it's the heat of Zamboanga, mashallah. And the beautiful faces of the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us warmth. I think it's warmth. You know, they say it's a very warm feeling. It means the hearts are very warm, mashallah. If your heart is cold, we will freeze in here. But when it's warm, I don't mind sweating. It's the sweat of love, mashallah. So my brothers and sisters, the problems we are facing today in society, our children are becoming people who, instead of contributing to the building of society, they are contributing to the destruction of society. They get into drugs, they get into bad habits, they get into bad company, and they start believing that they are the only ones who have the right to exist. They need to harm that one, destroy that one, maybe even kill that one. This is the type of thinking they develop. You know, one of the reasons is we were not in their lives from an early age in a proper way. We have hope. The future holds for us a lot of goodness, but you need to invest in it. Spend time with your children. As the child grows, I was telling you, Allah takes away that control, right? So when the child is 4 years old and you start giving the child, even three, sometimes even two nowadays, you want to give the child a rattle. You know what is a rattle? A small mechanical toy that makes a noise. The child says, no. They cry and cry and cry until you give them your phone. They no longer want those old type of toys. But just when the child a few months before that was so happy with the rattle, now they don't want the rattle. And a little while later, they want a car, and not any ordinary car, but a car where they can control it from a remote. So they want something sophisticated. When the child is small, who decides which school the child will go to? You. But the day comes when the child says, I don't want to wear this clothing. Up to now I used to decide. Look how Allah is taking away from me the power of making decisions for my children. I don't want to wear this clothing. And I don't want to go to this college. Oh, now you're growing old, right? You're becoming big. So all the decisions are yours. If you had a good role and a good communication with that child, if you played a decent role in the life of the child will ask you, what do you think? What should I wear? What should I do? Instead of making a decision against yours, it will be considering what you have to say. But when you were guilty of being busy with something else, how can you contribute to the building of your community, your society, your nation, your city, and your surroundings? You won't. You were busy on your phone doing what? Wasting your time. Perhaps doing something wrong, maybe. Who knows? So I call on you, my brothers and sisters, to be responsible. Hope, if coupled with responsibility, shall achieve the goals that we dream of. If there is no responsibility, it's a false hope. We want to see an end to the fighting and the killing. We want to see an end to the ideology of hate. We want to see an end to the destruction. It will happen. There is hope. It is happening. It shall happen. But we need to contribute towards it. We need to educate ourselves, talk about it. No nation, look at the hundreds of years that we have lived, perhaps. No nation has flourished under war. No nation has flourished under destruction. And it cannot keep on going for generations upon generations. We cannot allow the destruction of our own children and letting them believe that we were brought onto the earth in order to suffer, in order to destroy, in order to fight. And that's it. Is that why Allah created us? Come on. Think about it. Allah created us to worship Him. Allah created us to try our best to become close to Him, to do the best that we can, to fulfill His beautiful instructions, to get closer to Him. When people disagree with you, and when you see others who think differently, number one, you need to be mature enough, educated enough, spiritual enough, religious enough, strong enough to be able to engage them in a beautiful way, in a respectful way, and tolerate the differences. When we say tolerate differences, what do we mean? Tolerance is the willingness to live with those whom you disagree with. Can you live? Are you a tolerant person? Are you willing to live with those you disagree with? I see some of the sisters saying yes, because they are either living with their mothers-in-law or their daughters-in-law, yeah? Tolerance, mashallah. In our societies, that's the height of tolerance. People say, you're living with your mother-in-law, mashallah, can I kiss your hands? Subhanallah, you are so tolerant, subhanallah. But no, there should be a loving relationship. Not all mothers-in-law are bad. Most of them are brilliant people, aren't they? I didn't hear the yes, subhanallah. And not all daughters-in-law are bad. But it's a stigma attached to people that we have created. You know what? There is hope that a day will come when matters will be resolved. After the dark night, we know for a fact that the daybreak will come. The same Allah who brought about the sunrise when the night was so dark is going to bring about the light in our lives after the darkness that we have seen for years on end. Have hope in the mercy of Allah. We will see growth. Look at nations that have developed so quickly. In a few years, they have grown and developed such that it's unimaginable. The only reason why that has happened is because of their contribution towards the peace and stability of their region. And they had hope And they followed it through, not only with responsibility, but with hard work. Like I told you, you get up in the morning, you have hope for a job. You work so hard to try and get that job. You will get it, inshallah. And you need to know that yes, we suffer setbacks. Just like when I have a cough, when I have a flu, when I have a fever, I have hope it's only going to last for a short time. I'll try my best. I might have a little bit of medication, or I might decide some home remedies. You know what are home remedies? You can have lemon and honey, subhanAllah. If your wife is very loving, she can be your own honey. And you can be the lemon, mashallah. May Allah grant us goodness. But you can have your home remedies. I promise you, when you have a loving relationship, you feel better. People come to you and they say a good word, you feel good. That is why in Islam, a lot of importance has been given to visiting the sick, not to make them more sick. I had a brother, he was sick, he was ill. I phoned his house and I said, we need to come and visit. They said, sorry, we're not taking visitors. I said, but it's a sunnah. We need to come. They said, you know what type of a sunnah it is? From the morning to the night, people are not letting him rest. So I said, well, in that case, we'll just send a WhatsApp message. Subhanallah. Nowadays, even if you send a WhatsApp message to people, I heard you are not well, I am praying, may Allah grant you cure, may Allah bless you. It livens them, it makes them feel good. There are people worried about me, people concerned about me. Today, our own family members are sick and we don't even know. We don't even have a clue and we're not even interested. You know why? We're busy doing something else. Too busy. Too busy doing what? Before you know, people will die and you will regret that you didn't use your life in a proper way, subhanAllah. So we have hope in our children. We need to have hope in our future. When the difficulties come, like I said, that same Allah who removed us from problems in the past will remove us from problems again and again. Don't lose hope. It's just a matter of time. Sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's a few years, but you will come out of your negativity without a doubt by the will of Allah. By the will of Allah. I remember a sister who said, please pray for me, I want to get married. May Allah grant ease to all those who are unmarried that they can get married. MashaAllah, I heard someone screaming on this side. May Allah bless you. Ameen. That was quite strong. Few years later, please make dua, I want to get married. Few years later, please make dua, I'm losing hope. I said, don't lose hope. May Allah bless you, grant you. And you know what? It was about 12 years. The sister had turned 30 something, almost close to 40. And one day she got married. Ah, it's my wedding. She said, it was worth the wait. I was just losing hope. It was worth the wait. Why? The guy I married is such a good guy. I said, MashaAllah, look, you see, we lose hope in the mercy of Allah, but Allah knows, wait, hang on. If you marry now, maybe the young man is not going to really treat you properly, you know. Maybe, who knows? Allah knows. So you don't know what your future holds. Allah knows. Keep trying. Don't just sit at home and think, yeah, don't worry, it's going to come. Your husband is not going to plop down from the ceiling, boom, and you find him, oh, wow, welcome, I was waiting for you, you know. That's not going to happen. You need to try hard. You need to work hard. You need to go and look. You need to talk to your brothers and your fathers. And you need to be responsible, my beloved fathers and brothers. It is becoming more and more difficult to get good husbands. Why? Am I right? Woo, half the hole. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Can we not develop ourselves and become good? This morning I was talking to someone complaining about an issue, and the husband is swearing and shouting, and I'm thinking, I cannot believe why we need to be vulgar. Why? For what? What are you gaining by oppressing someone else? And vice versa, sometimes it's the wife. I remember a brother coming for Salatul Fajr very early, and I said, subhanAllah, this brother, I don't really see him for Salah, but he's very early here. Alhamdulillah, maybe he's up for tahajjud, and he came, and when I got close to him to greet him, he had a blue eye and he had a few marks, and I said, oh, subhanAllah. He said, yeah, the only place I could come was the masjid. I said, oh, I can imagine what happened. He said, you don't even want to know. So he was beaten up by his own wife. It is happening the other way. May Allah grant us ease. Allah grant us ease. Well, I told him, my brother, that's the mercy of Allah. How? How can this be the mercy of Allah? She beat me up. I said, but you came to the masjid, didn't you? MashaAllah. MashaAllah. You became a good guy, right? If you come every day to the masjid, perhaps it will improve. May Allah grant us happiness in our homes. My brothers, my sisters, wallahi, many of us, we want goodness, but we don't want to contribute towards goodness. How many of us take care of others who don't have what we have? How many of us reach out to people who don't have what we have, even in a small way? The Prophet, peace be upon him, says when you're cooking and when you're making your stew, if you were to add a little bit more water, perhaps you will be able to give some to the neighbors. How many of us look at the neighbors and make dua for them? Forget about the stew, we might not have, or who knows, we might not have reached that level of kindness. But at least look at them with an eye of goodness and pray for them. Because if you are good, your neighbors are good, your entire suburb will be good, your community will be good, many suburbs will be good, the city will be good, the country will be good. It starts off with yourself. That's why Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah doesn't change the condition of a nation in a positive way unless each one of them changes their own condition to begin with. You want a change, it starts with you. I want a change, it starts with me. People look at others and say, that guy needs to change. No, I need to change. Again, today I was talking to someone saying, you know, should we or shouldn't we go and meet this relative who really doesn't want to meet us? And I said, go and try. Who knows, perhaps Allah might soften their heart. And if you try and they chase you away, they send you away, perhaps you will achieve your reward. And you tried. One day they might think, oh, I shouldn't have sent them away, right? But if you were to go there and you were to swear and shout and scream and yell back, no. So this is why Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The true believers are those whom, when the arrogant or ignorant, the ignorant speak to them and address them in an ignorant fashion, they just say peace and they walk away. They respond, but they respond with the word peace. And then they go away. Why does Allah say that? Because a good reply is better than no reply. And no reply is better than a bad reply. When someone starts a problem with you, don't escalate it. No. If you have hope in solving the problem, and that's what it should be, you will de-escalate. Someone swears at you and you just smile at them. And they think, what's wrong? They swear you again. You smile at them even more. And they swear you again and you offer them a bit of water. Or perhaps, what did you lose? Nothing. You lost nothing. You gave them the opportunity to think and ponder over what they did. But if you were to swear back, they get happy. Yeah, you see. Then they swear you with a bigger swear word. Then you swear back. Then they punch you. Then you punch them. Then they take a hammer and hit you. Then you hit them. Then this one is damaged. Then one dies. And you say, oh, what happened? It started with a small swear word. You see? You could have solved it when it was small. Then later it became so big it was out of your control. So resolve matters. The champions on earth are those who prove themselves by solving a problem. Problem solving is supposed to be the nature of mankind. Unfortunately, we've become such, we are problem creators. We create the problem. How are you going to build society? What's going to happen to your generation? Imagine if you were to hear 18 years later that your child has joined a terrorist organization and is blowing up people. How would you feel? You're going to say, oh no. You know what happened in New Zealand a few weeks ago? I saw a little video of people asking the mother of that criminal, that's your son? What do you think? She was shocked. You could see she was very, very sad. Very sad. Imagine, mother gave birth to you. You cannot even respect your own mother? How can you take the life of others away and think that you're going to build society and community? What legacy are you going to leave behind? What are you doing for the future generations? Is that what it's all about? You came onto earth in order to use your whole life dedicated towards hatred? That's what people are doing. I promise you, if you look back into their lives, you will find that perhaps there is a deficiency of something. They fell into the wrong hands, they went into the wrong company. This is why it's very important to participate in the lives of your family members and your children, so that if you notice a little bit of deviation, you can help them. With us, we don't notice anything. We only find out later on, oh, look at what this child of mine did. That's not how it should be. So my brothers and sisters, if you take a look at scripture, heavenly divine scripture, open the pages of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about so many stories and incidents. Why? For us to derive lesson from. I'm sure earlier today we heard a little bit about a few of these stories, right? Don't you realize that when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, came through, when the Prophet Jesus, may peace be upon him, came through, they struggled and suffered. Why did the Almighty do that to them when he was the most merciful and they were the best of the lot? In order for us to learn that life is a struggle, life is a challenge, life is difficult from the beginning to the end. And this is why every single one of us, without an exception, we go through a little bit of a health problem, whether it is a cough, whether it is an eye infection, whether it is more serious than that or less, but we have health problems once or twice or a few times in the year for Allah Almighty to test us. What are you going to do? Your nose is blocked this morning. So what? Are you going to do something about it? Or are you going to stop your prayer? Are you going to stop being good? Are you going to get irritated and agitated just because you are not well? Everyone goes through it. Because it's a challenge. If Allah didn't want challenges, none of us would have been sick. We would have come on earth and everything would have been laid on a platter. It would have been boring. Yesterday, I addressed a group of brothers and sisters here in Zamboanga. And I said something that made me think as well. If we didn't have differences, life would be boring. Life would be very boring. Imagine if no one differed, everyone was on your level, everyone was following your religion, your understanding, your level, your type, your this, whatever you think, they're all thinking. Life would be so boring because there would be no point to discuss anything with anyone. And the word da'wah or propagation or dissemination or education, all of that would be diminished because people would already be upon one level. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it very clearly. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. If Allah wanted, He could have guided all the inhabitants of the earth. Allah has the power to do that. I ask you a question, in whose hands is guidance? Who guides? Who guides? It's Allah who guides, right? If He wanted, He could have guided everyone on earth. They would have been guided just like you and I. If we are rightly guided, inshallah. If Allah wanted, He could have had everyone on the same level. And Allah says, are you going to force people to believe when we are the ones in control? You cannot do that. You cannot force anyone, but you can discuss with them, you can talk with them, you can perhaps answer their questions, and maybe they can answer your questions. That is what makes life interesting. You need to develop your capacity to respond to people. When someone is saying 1 plus 1 is 3, you need patience to explain to them, no, it's 2. Subhanallah, it's 2. And they might argue, no, it is 3. And you say, how is it 3? You say, and I remember, you know, we were just talking, the whole world knows that 1 plus 1 is 2, right? But it's just an example. If they're arguing with you, no, it's 3. You've got to explain to them, no. Look, it's 2 because you have 1 and you have another 1. So you take 1 and you put 1. And then, so however you want to explain to the child, you explain to the child. When the child knows the answer once, there is a happiness in the heart. There is a happiness in the heart. That will never ever be forgotten. Up to the end, you know the right answer. Because someone took their time to explain it to you one time in a good way, you were convinced. The same applies to guidance and goodness. It will come to you, but it will come to others as well if you are prepared to make an effort to speak. And who knows, you might be on the wrong path. Your wrongs will be corrected by those who care for you. Sometimes we are treading the path of hatred, enmity, animosity, jealousy, envy, and all these bad qualities. These qualities, they only destroy us. They don't destroy anyone else. When you have hatred, it destroys your deeds. إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبُ. That jealousy destroys your good deeds the same way that fire would eat away at a dry log very fast. So if you're holding burdens, you have grudges. The grudges destroy you and your health. Some people say, my back is sore, I have a headache, my shoulders are paining. You know why? Can I tell you one of the reasons? You're not a very forgiving person, that's why. You're not relaxed, you're very tight, you're holding everything. That one did this, I'm not forgiving them. That one did this, I will see you on the day of judgment. The other one did that, watch out for Qiyamah. The other one did this, Allah will fix you. Come on, let things go. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Allah says, forgive and embrace. Don't you want Allah to forgive you? Well, if you want Him to forgive you, learn to forgive others. No, I can't forgive. What did they do? No, forgive. What are you losing by forgiving people? What are you losing? You are gaining. I promise you, you are gaining. Forgive, embrace, let it go, be the bigger person. If you say, I will leave you for the day of judgment, when you get to the day of judgment, you might find out you were wrong and they were right. And then, too late. Too late. People who are fighting, they say, right, I'll leave you for the day of judgment. Let one be bigger and say, I believe you are wrong, but it's okay. You can go, fine. See, you'll be a happy person. Your expression on your face will be so happy as you're walking because you're holding no grudge. But I see people, they walk. You know, and you wonder what's going on. But they have hatred. They have this, you know, they haven't forgiven people. They are holding everything. And it's like kgs, 300 kgs on my back. That's why your back is paining, your shoulders are tight, you have a headache. You are holding too much. Let it go. There is hope for society, for community, when you forgive people. When you learn to let go of things. Yes, if they owe you something, and that is a large thing, and it is something you need, you have every right to seek justice. They owe you 2 million pesos. Whoa, you can't just say, I owe you 2 million, but did you hear what this man said today? Forgive me. No, I want my money. I will take you to the court. I will do this, but don't do it with hate. Don't do it with hate. There is no point. We will get our right through the proper channels, but we will be calm about it. We will be calm about it. I know of a brother, someone owed him a large amount of money because that person borrowed the money to do business and the business flopped and they couldn't pay back. And the problem came to me and I told the brother, look, while you are waiting for your money, start your own business and say to Allah, this guy was my friend. He took the money, his business didn't work. Oh Allah, if you give me a business such that it grows so big, I will forgive this man all the money. Guess what? Wallahi, his business grew bigger than he could imagine. Bigger than he could imagine. He forgave the brother and employed the same brother in his own business. They were happy. Oh, if Allah gave you 20 million, you cannot forgive 20 pesos? What is the percentage? 0.001%. Give it, let it go. Khalas, salam alaikum. It's a charity. Let it go. Forgive them. But we don't want. We want to hold every small thing. So the other verse that I read, Allah says, whoever is patient, whoever bears patience and forgives, that's the best thing they could have done. It's the better thing. It's what is required of them. It's what would actually be better for them. What do you do? Two things. Be patient and forgive. That brings me to another point. Hope is realized when you enjoy the patience that you're enduring. Enjoy it. In Islam, we call it sabrun jameel. Jameel. It's a beautiful sabr. Allah says, fasbir sabran jameela. Be patient. A beautiful patience. Why does Allah call it beautiful? Let me quickly explain. There are many explanations, but I have one simple one. One simple explanation. When I am patient regarding a problem that I have, a sickness I have, a difficulty I have, a situation that I have, and I have hope in the mercy of Allah and the reward I know I'm getting, I'm a happy person. I'm not losing anything. My health problem is such, I'm giving you an example, if a person's health problem is such that they are finding it difficult to do things, but they still do it, and they are still smiling, and they know I'm getting a reward with Allah, there comes a time when they enjoy doing what they're doing, and they know, I know Allah's going to reward me for this. You have a tough marriage, I promise you, the first 1-2 years of marriage are normally turbulent. The teething problems where you're getting to know one another, you're realizing each other, you're recognizing each other. Sometimes you have issues. Yes, if the issues are very, very big, you might want to seek divorce. It's possible. But today, people seek divorce for the smallest thing. Smallest thing, I promise you. I know of a marriage that happened. When the couple, the bride and the groom, were leaving the hall, just like a hall like this one here, when they were leaving the hall, there was an argument as to which Rolls Royce they should jump into. The one arranged by the boy's side or the one arranged by the girl's side. Because of that, the divorce happened. I said, well, if I were those, I would have said, we're walking home in the rain, so romantic. We don't need these cars. We will walk. We'll catch public transport. The last time I remember, the jeepney was quite cheap. Yeah. Save your marriage, but jump into the jeepney together. Wow. Right? So, the reason I'm saying this is, how can we have hope in future generations when we are not prepared to be patient a little bit with the condition we have? Small. And I must repeat, yes, if there is serious oppression, there is something wrong, and you really cannot manage, you have every right to seek a divorce. It is permissible in Islam, but it's a last resort. I don't know about your community, but back with our communities across many countries in the world, when people get married, 2-3 years later, people want to know, are they still married? Are they still married? It's like, oh, it's like a big deal. 10 years and they're still married. Wow, that's quite long, right? It's supposed to be your whole life, but today things have changed. It's like, oh, I'm going shopping. I was married to this person, and a few years later, that person, and that person, and then that person. Relax, take it easy. It's not going shopping. You don't have to just try all these commodities and goods. That's not what life is all about. Life is about dedication, sacrifice. Make sure that you are prepared to be patient upon what has come in your direction. Then you can focus upon growth, because the growth is more important than some of these small matters we argue about. The growth. You have children together. That should be a bonding point regarding little issues, because you have a responsibility together to raise those children. When you look at children from broken homes, there is more that is needed to work on them than others, because there is definitely a deficiency. There is a deficiency of one parent. So subhanAllah, we must make sure that we do our best to contribute to our own homes, our societies, our communities. There is definitely hope, my brothers and sisters. And you know what is the ultimate hope? I want to spend the next few minutes giving you the biggest smile, inshallah. We will all go to paradise. Say Ameen. We will all go to paradise. We refuse to go anywhere else, right? We will go to paradise. We have hope in the mercy of Allah. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. In Surah Az-Zumar, Allah says, tell my worshippers who have transgressed against themselves, you did wrong, you did very wrong, you did very, very wrong. Don't lose hope in my mercy. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. He will forgive every single sin of yours without exception. No exception. Someone says, what about shirk? Even shirk, He will forgive. What about the verse of the Quran, Allah, inna Allaha la yaghfiru an yushrak? That is, if you die in the condition without seeking forgiveness, that is a different story. We are talking about seeking forgiveness on earth while you are breathing. The Sahaba were mostly mushriks in Mecca. They used to worship stones and sticks. Allah forgave all of them. And Allah said, they were some of the best people on earth. The people of Badr, the people who took part in the battle of Badr. Prior to them seeking forgiveness of Allah, entering the fold of Islam, who were they? They were mushrikeen of Makkah, the majority of them. And Allah says, لا تدري لعل الله اطلع على أهل بدر فقال اعملوا ما شئتم فإني قد غفرت لكم. What do you know about the people of Badr? Perhaps Allah has looked at their hearts and Allah told them, do as you please from now on. I have forgiven you totally. In a nutshell, you have reserved your place in paradise. So even shirk, Allah will forgive if you seek forgiveness. When Allah says He doesn't forgive it, He's talking about when you die and you did not repent. What happens? Allah says, oh, we may forgive you, but if you have done shirk, then you have entered into territory that is very dangerous. So Allah says, never lose hope in my mercy. I will forgive every sin of yours. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. You need to plug in with Allah. Develop your relation with your Maker. That will help you. Develop your relation with your Maker. It will develop you as a person. And it will make you an asset in society. And you know what's a sign of piety? Soft nature. When you have a soft nature, it's a sign that you are close to Allah. When you become harsh and hard and filled with all sorts of qualities of aggressiveness, it is a sign that you are far from the mercy of Allah, even if you think you are holy. Allah says to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is because of the mercy of Allah that you are soft and lenient with those around you. If you were harsh and hard, they wouldn't even sit near you. They would disperse. They wouldn't even want to listen to you. Allah says, no, it's our mercy that made you soft. Which shows you that softness is a sign of the mercy of Allah. When you're close to Allah, you don't think, I'm holy, I'm going to heaven. There is a stamp on my back saying, Jannah. Can you see it? And on your back, there are two stamps saying, Jahannam. Some people think that way. They read 5 salah a day, 6 salah a day, if you were to add the hajjud. But they despise other people. They look at others and they think, these guys are all going to Jahannam. I'm the only person on earth who is correct. Jannah was made for me and no one else. That's what they think. My brothers, you will be shocked to see people in Jannah before you. whom you thought would never make it there. You will be shocked to see them there. Surprise! Allah says, He has granted Jannah to someone who was compassionate to a dog. How's that? He gave Jannah to people for small, small things. Allah's mercy is bigger than yours and mine. Just as well, Jannah belongs to Allah, not to you and I. We cannot even forgive someone for 5 pesos. How are we going to forgive them and give them Jannah? Allah says, you just ask me forgiveness, I will forgive you totally, completely. So we have one major problem. What is the problem? Shaitan. Shaitan comes to us, and you know what he does? Take a guess. When we are seeking forgiveness of Allah, He makes us think, no, 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 what you did was so bad, Allah won't forgive you. That's what He does. He makes us lose hope. And I know so many people, they say, you know, I did this, I did that, I committed this sin or that sin. Now I think it's too big, Allah won't forgive me. The first time you said, oh Allah, forgive me, and you were sincere, the first time, one time, Allah forgave you, He wiped out your sin, and you started a new leaf. But when you entertained shaitan, you thought Allah didn't forgive you, but He did forgive you the first time. Allah doesn't need you to repeat it again and again and again. Oh Allah, forgive me that sin I did. Oh Allah, forgive me that sin I did. The first time was enough, He forgave you. But we are human, we repeat this tawbah again and again, which is a good thing. The second time you repeat it, you don't have a sin. So what does Allah do? He writes a reward for you. The third time, you don't have the sin. It was wiped out long back. If you could see your own record, you would know that the sin was wiped out 20 years ago. But I'm still thinking about it and asking Allah's forgiveness. As a result, Allah is elevating your status. You are becoming closer and closer to Allah. But don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. When you lose hope, it prevents you from praying properly. It prevents you from doing other good deeds. You start thinking, I'm so bad, I'm so evil, my Lord will never accept me. That is from the devil. That is from shaitan. So you have hope in the mercy of Allah. The day you grow older, the day you become aged, and you think, now I'm going to die, you need to know for a fact that Allah will forgive you if you are seeking His forgiveness, and He will take you into Jannah. Have that hope. You know what Allah says in a hadith Qudsi? He says, "Ana inda dhanni 'abdi bi." I will treat each one of my slaves according to how they think I will treat them. That's why I refuse to think negative. I believe positively. Allah will forgive me. Allah has forgiven me. Allah will continue to forgive me. And the day I die, I have hope that Allah will give me Jannah. وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying, He is the one, I have full hope in Him that He will forgive my sins. The day of judgment, I will be totally forgiven. So my brothers and sisters, I hope that the little bit that I have said today has helped us in two ways. Number one, having hope within our own lives, in ourselves, our families, our communities, our societies, and our future. And number two, having hope in the mercy of Allah such that even in the hereafter, we know for as long as we have tried our best, we will be going into the heaven and the paradise that Allah has prepared for all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah grant you goodness. I really thought I was going to need a lot of this facial tissue paper for the sweat. But subhanallah, I only needed 2 pieces. Maybe I should keep on speaking. But inshallah, until we come back again to Zamboanga, I really thank you, my brothers and sisters, for this. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.